morning. I'll just give him another minute to quiet him down. Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you to Pastor Tony for setting us up for this week perfectly. We were actually supposed to preach last week and Pastor Tony this week, but we had to swap, and it couldn't have worked out more perfectly if we'd planned it that way. He has absolutely no idea what we were planning on speaking about, but in everything you spoke last Sunday morning, and then in Building in the Spirit, and actually just now as well, set us up perfectly, because what we want to talk about today is developing a mature prayer life.
Amen.
I'll just keep going.
So we're going to be looking at some of the obstacles to prayer, like in our daily life, some of the things that people have talked about saying that these are what they struggle with. We're also going to be looking at some solutions for how to overcome these obstacles and exploring what a mature prayer life looks like. And we wanted to make this as practical and useful as possible, so we haven't gone away and come up with this whole long list of obstacles that we've imagined. We have spoken to people. We've talked to people of all sorts of different ages, children, adults. We've talked to people of different spiritual maturity levels, and we've asked them for their input. So it isn't just some made-up list of things that we've assumed. We also want to be really open and honest, so we'll be sharing some of our experiences, our challenges, in the hope that that real life experience is going to help some other people. So with that in mind, I'll start with being really honest first, get you on the page of where I'm at. So this area of prayer is something that God's been challenging me in recently. It's not to say that I don't pray, it's not to say that there is a non-existent prayer life, but it is a weaker area in my life. Now, I am a reader, I'm a thinker, so I find it quite easy to pick up the Bible, read the Bible. I read loads of books written by, well, all sorts of different things, but I read a lot of Christian books that help me with my knowledge and understanding. So my knowledge and understanding is not bad. I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's not bad, and I think a lot. Have a tendency to overthink sometimes, but I think a lot. So I spend quite a lot of time thinking about God, thinking about the things that God wants from my life, how to live a godly life, processing the things that I've read. Spend a lot of time thinking about all of that sort of stuff. But I'm not always very consistent, and Pastor Tony's word from last week, I'm not always very intentional in my prayer life. I pray, but sometimes it can be inconsistent with the level of which I am spending time with God. Or it can be as and when, rather than this. I'm intentional, I purposely set aside time to pray. I do that, but not as often as I should be doing. So I know that this is an area that God's been talking to me about. And at first I thought, is it just for me? But I felt really challenged that it's not just for me, this is for the church as a whole, this is for each and every one of us. And then Pastor Tony said what he said last week, Paul's been talking about prayer in our life group, so there's been a lot of confirmation of, yes, this is something that the church needs to hear. I'm going to just read you 1 Thessalonians before I go into the full challenge. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 16 to 18. And I'm reading it from the Amplified Version. It says, rejoice always and delight in your faith. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer. So when I say that God's challenging me in this area of prayer, it's that, am I unceasing and persistent? Not always. So be unceasing and persistent in prayer. In every situation, no matter what the circumstance, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench, subdue, or be unresponsive to the working and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's another scripture that says we don't always know what to pray, and it's the Holy Spirit that gives us utterances. It's the Holy Spirit that guides us in what to pray. So this is saying here, do not quench the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is trying to prompt you to pray for something and you're quenching it, you're not living out this scripture. So it's pray, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in every situation, be persistent in prayer. So with that in mind, I know I've just talked about where I'm at, and I know that there are other people in this church who will have a more mature spiritually prayer life than I have. But in all honesty, I don't care. This message is still for you. God wants every one of us, no matter what level we are at, to grow and mature in him. And really importantly, to bear this in mind, there is a call on the church to rise up in prayer. And that challenge is for each and every one of us to take that on a personal level. Now, it's entirely up to you how you choose to respond to this, but I'm going to say it anyway. And there's a quote from Tozer. I think we're in the wrong order there, but it doesn't matter.
No.
To desire revival and neglect personal prayer and devotion is to wish one way and walk another. So as a church, if we're going to stand here and say we desire revival, then building this developing mature prayer life in our own personal walk is massively important. Otherwise, it's just, yeah, God, I want it to happen, but what are you actually doing to make it happen? So that's the challenge for us all.
So as Lisa said, we've asked lots of people what they think prayer is, because we didn't want to make assumptions, we didn't make generalisations about what we think people think prayer is. So if over the last couple of weeks you've been asked a bit of a random question, why are they asking me what is prayer? Just out of the blue, this is why. So like we said, we've asked a wide range of people, and some of the answers that we got were speaking directly to God, speaking to God without judgment, communicating with God. Other people said getting support, asking for help and protection, talking with God. It's a privilege and not a duty. And sometimes a misconception, particularly in other denominations, that prayer is more of a duty thing you do if you come to church. Actually, no, it's not. It is a privilege to be able to speak to God, isn't it? It's a foundation for getting things done. It's important to everything, someone said. It is necessary. Someone said it doesn't change anything. And often you get Christians and non-Christians who might say that. It's a lifeline and they can't get by without it. I pray for everything. The answers to the small things increase my faith for the big things. It should be done frequently and we should be open and transparent with God. And prayer is a dialogue between us and God. You know, it's not just speaking directly to him, like some of the other observations. A dialogue indicates it's a two-way conversation. So it's both ways, isn't it? So there's a wide range of things there that people have said. And our view of prayer will change as we mature in our Christian walk. As we gain more wisdom, as we gain more understanding, our perception of what prayer is and why we're doing it will change as we go. Because when you first become a Christian, prayer can sometimes feel like this mystical thing that you do, and it's a bit spooky, but it's something you have to do. But as we develop and as we mature, then we can grow in our prayer walk. So we're just going to highlight some of those things today of how we can go through and mature.
Yeah, so when we ask the question, what is prayer? There is a simple answer and there is a not so simple answer. So the simple answer is, as some of quite a few of those people that we've asked have said, is talking with God. And it is not just to God, it's with God. It's definitely a two-way conversation. That's the simple answer. But the more complex answer is that prayer is actually many, many different things. And it encompasses so much. There's different types of prayer. There's different things that we need to pray for. But all of them involve you and God. That's kind of the big, simple definition of prayer. It's about you and God. Now, our walk with God starts with prayer. We can see this in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 to 42. I'll read through it, but then I'll pick out the important bits. It's all important. I'll just clarify that. When the people heard this is Peter speaking to the people Pentecost. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Then they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to their fellowship, to breaking bread and to prayer. So the walk started with prayer. The very, very first thing, repent, be baptized. So we repent, we confess our sins, and we receive forgiveness. That is the first step to walking with God beyond what Jesus has done for us. That's our first step. So prayer is so integral to our walk with God that it is actually where we begin. You have to pray that, "God, forgive me, I confess my sins, I know I'm a sinner, I come to you." That's the very start. So if our walk with God starts with prayer, doesn't it make sense that our walk with God must continue with prayer? If that's where he asks us to start. I mean, there's quite a few scriptures where God says, "Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." Come to me. He's asking us to come to him all the time. We've got another quote from Martin Luther here that talks about the importance of prayer to our walk with God. It says, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." This is how fundamental prayer is to our walk with God. If we are not praying and we are not talking with him, we're not being with him, then we're not with him. It's that straightforward. So as I said before, if prayer is the entry point to our walk with God, then it makes perfect sense that prayer is key to us developing that relationship with God.
Amen.
I'm going to read another scripture to you. There's quite a few scriptures. We're having to maybe not read all of them for time's sake. But Philippians 4, verse 4 to 7. This sums up some of those elements that are key to continuing to walk with him. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." It's already being said again because it was said in the other scripture that I read before. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ." Now, when I look at that continuing walk with God and what prayer involves, it involves adoration and worship. When you are worshipping, you are speaking to God, and speaking to God, we've already said, is prayer. We pour out our hearts to God in prayer. We started with confessing sins and repenting, but we also have to continue with continually confessing sins and repenting. That's an ongoing thing throughout your whole walk. And we started with receiving forgiveness. But if we're going to keep confessing our sins and we're going to keep repenting, we're going to need to keep receiving forgiveness as well. All of these things happen in prayer. Without prayer, you cannot receive this forgiveness because it happens in prayer. We give thanks and praise. And it's where we ask God to meet our needs. This is what the scripture said. It's always giving thanks, asking God with prayer and petition, present your request to God. So it's where God meets our needs. It's also where we learn to listen to him. We've said it's a two-way conversation. It's not just about me speaking, it's about him speaking. It's where we find peace. And it's where we develop intimacy with God. We get to know him and we get to be known by him. Isn't that everyone's heart's desire, to be fully known by someone? And this is what God is offering to us in prayer. He wants to fully know you. He wants you to pour out your heart to him. But prayer also changes our perspective. It changes our viewpoint. It lets us see things from his perspective rather than our own. And then our future walk. So we've looked at where we began. We've looked at how we continue. But also the future, our future walk is discovered in prayer. This is where we build. It's where we see breakthrough. So this is where prayer is also where we get direction, guidance, and truth. It's where we can bring our concerns, anxieties and worries to him and get answers to those things. We don't just pour out our heart to God and leave it there. He provides answers. That's where the listening comes in. It's where we can ask for wisdom, knowledge and understanding. We know there's that very famous scripture from James about if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. But don't ask double-minded. You've got to believe in what you're asking for. You've got to believe that you're going to receive it. But also, maybe a lesser well-known one, Jeremiah 33, verse 3, says, call to me and I will answer you and give you great and unsearchable things you do not know. I will tell you great and unsearchable things. All of this is happening in prayer. And that's not even the full list yet. It's where we find help, strength and courage to keep going. Because there's going to be obstacles, there's going to be challenges. When you need the strength to keep going, this is where you find it. It's where we build faith. It's where we learn to be still and wait on God. It's where we learn to intercede for others. Your prayer life is not all about you. It's about others as well. But it is also about you. It's where you receive impartation. It's where we conduct spiritual warfare. In Matthew 18, verse 18 to 19, it says, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them in my Father's name. For where two and three are gathered, there I am with them. Amen. And it's also where we build our future with apostolic prayer. We'll come back to that in a little bit. So a mature prayer life should feature all of those things. So when I said earlier about being challenged, it might be that I do this, 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 this and this, but this area is a weaker area. This is where I'm lacking a little bit. So when we go through all of that massive long list of what prayer is and what prayer involves, are there any of those aspects that you recognise as missing or not being consistently present? And we have another quote. This will be the last quote that I'm looking at. This is from E.M. Bounds. It says, prayers outlive the lives of those who uttered them. Outlive a generation, outlive an age, outlive a world. Our prayer life is how we can continue to live on. It's our prayers have power. They go into the spiritual realm. And everything that we pray is powerful. It doesn't just stop. It's not like I haven't seen the answer, so it stops. Now, I've seen this in my own personal life. Dave's granddad actually helped build this building quite a long time ago. And I never met him, but I know that he prayed for us because I did meet Dave's grandma. And she said, like, the hours they spent stood in this building praying for future generations and praying for their future family, which included me. They prayed for their grandson's wife and children. And I know from the conversations that I've had with her that I am standing here today partly because of that, because of those prayers that other people prayed who died before I was even born. Oh, died before I met Dave anyway. But their prayers live on in me. And we have been inspired to do that with our kids. And I know the impact that it had on my daughter-in-law when she's like, what, you were praying for me when I wasn't a Christian. You're praying for my kids that I don't even have yet. And now she's been inspired to do the same. So this is how our prayer life can go way, way beyond us, way beyond anything we can imagine.
One of the other things that we asked people was, what are the barriers? Because we all have barriers. Everyone can think of some barriers, can't they, to prayers. And again, we're asking the same people, so this is a wide range of answers that we got. It can be hard when you're struggling. That's one barrier. It's difficult, especially in praying out loud in front of people. That's a fear of man. We had loads of people say just general distractions, family demands, mobile phones, TV, everything that's going on in your life around you. That was something that people said was a barrier. Disappointment when you don't see answers to prayer. That's a barrier to then keep praying. Doubt and fear. What if God doesn't move when I pray? My mind starts wandering when praying. Again, that links into back to the distractions. Your mind's elsewhere. Unbelief. Sin and failings. Not feeling good enough to approach God. Don't know what to say or where to start. What if God isn't listening? God doesn't speak back to me. My prayers have no power. This is what people are saying is the barriers to them praying. Too many unanswered prayers. Prayer is for religious people. But one thing that I realise is the barrier is always in us. It's not with God. Even some of those where it says, well, God doesn't speak back to me. That's not a barrier from God. God is speaking. The barrier is in us. Is our heart open? Are our ears open to hearing what he is saying? So all the barriers that we put in, that we say, actually, I can't pray because of this, or I don't pray because of this, they come from us, they come from within us, not from God.
So I'm going to go back to my own personal challenge here. I said I would be honest and share with you where I'm at and where these challenges come from. So when God, a while ago now, God spoke to me about, you know, your prayer life is not as strong as it should be. And I was looking at it, it's like, why? Why is it not? Because I've already said, like, I am quite a relational person. I thrive off deep, like, conversation. Why am I not at this place with God? So I've had to take a good long look at my life, and I've realised there's three very key areas that have caused this blockage in me a little bit. So I'll just tell you what they are, and then I'll tell you what I'm doing to overcome them, what I have been doing. So firstly, I hear from God for other people, but not for myself. I've been asking for direction, and I haven't found that direction. I haven't found the answers to what I'm looking for in terms of my own life and where I'm going. Some of my friends will have heard me say lots of times, I always hear God for other people, but never for me. That's become a barrier to me seeking God for me. Unanswered prayer versus answered prayer. Somebody else had mentioned this when we looked at it. But I have found that I tend to be more negative focused, and I'm looking at what God's not done for me sometimes rather than what he has done for me. And my own personal confidence, expectations and potential embarrassment. Someone else said it about praying out loud. I don't always know what to say. Sometimes I feel silly. Sometimes I feel I should be praying more. Sometimes I feel I should have something more important to say. All of those kinds of things. Now, I can choose to be problem focused, and I can identify all of these issues. It's like, this is what God's spoken to me about. These are the things that are weaker areas in my life, and I can beat myself up about them. Or I can be solution focused and say, okay, I've identified these. What can I do to overcome them? Because what's the point in finding a whole load of problems if you don't find the solutions? So the things that I've been doing to work on this. So the first one I'd said about hearing God for other people but not for myself. Actually, that's not even true. It's something that I tell myself, but it isn't true. I just haven't got the full picture. And me being a control freak, I want to know every single step, every single part. So the first thing I've had to do is acknowledge that this thing that I believe isn't actually truth. I do hear God for me. I've had loads and loads of things that God has spoken to me about me. The fact that I'm standing here saying God's challenged me on this shows that I do hear God for me. Yeah. What I've had to do is write down and say, what do I know so far? Let's write it down. What do I know? And then I can remind myself of the times that God has spoken to me.
Yeah. Amen.
The second one. Unanswered prayer versus answered prayer. I thought I had this massive long list of unanswered prayer, and there's times when I have prayed with absolute conviction that this is going to happen. And I've thought I've had this really, really long list of things that haven't happened. And you know what? Some of them are still there. I'm not going to deny it. I'm not going to say every prayer I've ever prayed has actually been answered. There are still some unanswered prayer. But I think that comes from me having to keep pushing in. If God gives me everything that I ask for straight away, how do I ever learn perseverance? So he's not going to answer everything straight away because things are done in his timing. I can say that about Sam, my son. I prayed, I had fertility treatment. I prayed for 2 years. And I eventually got pregnant, and then our best friends got pregnant like 5 months later. God's timing is perfect, because those two children have been able to grow up together. If he'd done it when I wanted, I wouldn't have learned how to press in. I wouldn't have learned to push in. I wouldn't appreciate what I've got in my son now. Though all those sleepless nights meant nothing when I knew that this was that answer to prayer. But also I realised that I had some things on my unanswered prayer list that actually have been answered. Like Dave, for instance, every time he stood for elections, I prayed that, God, this is your word. You've told us that this is what he's going to do. So I have absolute conviction that it's going to happen. 3 years in a row didn't happen. But that's still on my unanswered prayer list, even though he is actually an elected councillor now. So I haven't updated, I haven't moved it from one area to another in my own head. So I've had to go through and write this list of all the things that God has done for me, set up like these sacred stones of, this is where you came through, this is where you have answered my prayer. And I've realised that far outweighs all the unanswered prayer. So just doing that alone has given me that confidence to say, yeah, I can keep going with this. And my own confidence and expectations. So I've often laughed at people who pray about every little thing, because it makes me feel uncomfortable. When I've been out in the car with my mum and she's praying that we find a parking space, it's like, look, I can do that myself. I can go and find a parking space. So it makes me feel uncomfortable sometimes, but I've realised God has said to me, he wants to know all of me. He wants me to bring everything that I am. And some of that is silly, small little things. But that's relationship. He wants me to come to him when I'm crying, when I'm broken, when I'm hurting. But he also wants me to come to him over something daft that happened that made me laugh. Because he wants to be a full part of our whole entire life. So I have to keep reminding myself that God's interested in all of me, not just the things that I think are important enough. So I've been doing this over the last few weeks and months, and I've already noticed such a huge difference. I'll give this example very quickly. I was in work and I was having a difficult, I was just feeling down, no real reason whatsoever. So I immediately right, lunchtime, I'm going for a walk, I'm going to pray. I'm going to put this right, I'm going to spend time with God. Came back, little did I know that afternoon, that God had spoken to me in my prayer walk. That afternoon, a member of my team was really upset about something. I took her to one side. The words that God had given me in my lunchtime, I was ending up prophesying over this woman, and it completely turned her day around. But it was that I felt I needed God, and I realised how that impact of my walk with God and my prayer life with God is good for me, but it's good for everyone around me as well. So just in those few weeks of beginning to make a difference and beginning to put in the effort, I can see already how it's changing.
So we're looking at all those barriers. So how do we overcome those barriers? What practical tips and hints can we give you this morning about how you can overcome those barriers? And when we look through the list, realise you can probably split them into three different areas. So the first area we're going to look at is a weak flesh. Matthew 26, verses 36 to 45. It's a story of when Jesus was with his disciples and he said, go and sit over there while I go and pray. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So he went away a second time and prayed. And when he came back, they were sleeping again because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. So even the disciples who were with Jesus all that time still struggled with the flesh. They were tired. their bodies were tired and they went to sleep. And sometimes the flesh can take over all of our time, all the stuff that we have to do on a daily basis. Now, sometimes that's out of our control. So if you've got young kids, for example, they're not going to give you half an hour's peace for you to go and have some quality prayer time, are they? No, life can take over. But there are lots of things that we can do to help overcome that. But there are also things that we need to do on the things that we can control as well. So there's lots of the distractions that are from us, not anyone else around you. TV, mobile phones, all these sorts of things. We choose to sit down an evening, put Netflix on, start that season. It's only got 6 episodes, would be right. Put episode 1 on. And then you think, oh, I'll pray after, I'll just watch one more episode. And then before you know it, it's midnight, and then you're tired, and you just missed half the last episode because you've fallen asleep. And then it's like, oh, I'm tired now, I'm going to go to bed. So then you go to bed, you get up the next day, and then you're in work, and then you've missed that opportunity. Are these things, you know, watching TV, relaxing, doing a hobby, whatever it is, these aren't wrong things, but it's how do we overcome those the weak flesh that we have to be able to prioritize what we need to be doing. So the first thing, be disciplined. Don't start that TV show until you've done what you need to do first in your spiritual prayer walk, prayer life. Because that way then you can sit and relax and enjoy the show, because you're not thinking, oh, I should really pray. I'll just watch one more. Oh, but I should really pray, but I'll watch one. It's always in the back of your mind, whereas if you do what you need to do, and then later on you can relax then. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't then think, okay, I want to watch that TV programme tonight. I've got 2 hours before I go to bed. I'll be able to fit 3 episodes in. I'll just pray for 5 minutes, and then I can watch. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is do what you need to do. If that is pray in spiritual warfare for an hour and a half, that's what you need to do first, and then you can do what you want to do. So it's being disciplined about getting that balance right in your life. Second thing is be accountable to someone else. So if you've got barriers where you're struggling to pray because of fleshly things, so find someone who you can pray alongside. It's like having a gym buddy. So if you go to the gym with someone else, they're going to turn up at your door to pick you up, so you have to go. And then when you're at the gym, you've then got someone pushing you to do that extra 5 minutes on the running machine or whatever it is. It's the same principle. Get someone alongside you to pray and pray together. Find someone else who might be in the same situation, or find someone else who has a strong prayer life, because that'll help you as well. But it's not about you always praying together. Just because you're accountable for someone doesn't mean to say, I can only pray when we're together. You can pray on your own and then meet up with this other person over a coffee or whatever it is. Have a conversation about what you've been praying. Have a conversation about what God has said, what God has done. So you can do both. Pray with people, but be accountable to someone even when you're praying on your own. Next one. Set up a routine, but don't make it religious. If you want to be praying 7 times a day because you think that's what God wants, you might find that you're just going to pray for the sake of it. So I've only prayed 5 times a day. I'll just pray another twice before I go to bed because I need to pray 7 times a day. But if you do struggle to sort of find that time or find that routine, set a reminder on your phone. Just have a little daily alarm. There's someone who I work with who every day at 12 o'clock, the alarm goes off on her phone. And when she's not at her desk, it's going off and it's going off and it's going off. And I've gone over and I've pressed stop on it and I can see 12 o'clock prayer. Now, she's got a good prayer life, so she's not like, I need to pray now. But it's just, she's still thinking, okay, now, it's just a reminder every day. So set up that routine and that'll help you overcome those barriers. But be realistic in your expectations and make it achievable. So if at the moment you only pray for, say, 5 minutes a week, don't suddenly think, right, tomorrow, 3 hours a day for the next week, it's not going to happen. Because it's unrealistic, it's not achievable. Build it up slowly. And that way, you know, 5 minutes a day, then 10 minutes a day, and then maybe every other day you're doing an hour, and then every day you're doing an hour. If you build it up over time, it's more achievable and it's more realistic you're actually going to do it. At the end of the day, God is looking for your... It's the heart within you. It's not the amount of time you're praying. It's not when we get to heaven, Phil's image of Peter at the gate with his iPad. He's not got a log of how many hours we've prayed saying... Well, you've done 10,000 hours over your lifetime. You're in the penthouse. Sorry, you've only got 500 hours. You're at the base. You know, it's not like that. God's looking at your heart. He's looking at what it is inside you and why you're praying.
Yeah, just on that. When we're talking about weak flesh, we can give you these hints and tips. But let me just tell you, it's not going to just make it all easy all of a sudden. It's not like, oh, okay, I've got these magic things that if I put these in place, I'm never going to struggle. Isn't that when we talk about weak flesh? Some of it is you just have to overcome it yourself. You have to take responsibility for it and rise up and say, do you know what? And this is where, if you're looking at it as a duty and this is something I've got to do, you're never going to do that. But when you realise the relationship, there's someone waiting there who wants to have a relationship with me, it becomes a desire. It does become easier to overcome those other things when you realise what you are moving towards, rather than looking at it as something that you've got to move away from. Look at what you are moving towards. It's like a relationship, like marriage, for instance. If I am... with Dave, and I'm always with him because it's like, oh, I've got to. It's like, yeah, let's get it over and done with. Let's go out and spend some time together, and then I can go home and do what I want to do. That attitude is never going to build relationship. That is that attitude of duty. So if you are struggling with the flesh, my key thing would be look at what you are moving towards. Look at what is waiting for you, because it is worth it.
So the second area, so we've had weak flesh. Next bit is weak faith. That's part of the barriers to our prayer. Mark 9, verse 17 to 29. It's a story about when the man brought his son who was possessed. And it says, I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving generation, Jesus replied. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help. If you can, said Jesus. You can imagine him standing there saying, do you know, if you can, I'm Jesus, I'm God. Everything is possible for one who believes. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And then Jesus cast out the demon. And quite a few of the barriers that people have said that they faced are all linked to having a weak faith. What if God isn't listening? My prayers have no power. That type of barrier can be really difficult to overcome. But some of the things that we can do is, like we said before, if you pray for the things that you perceive to be small in your life, then that will help build your faith. Because you'll begin to see these small things answered, or that you perceive to be small, and then that increases your faith, which means then you can then pray for something a little bit bigger. And everyone has a different perception of what they see as a small prayer and what they see as a big prayer. You know, God, in God's eyes, it makes no difference whether he's moving a mountain or he's healing little Johnny's cold. To him, it's just a word and it's done. So to him, it makes no difference whether you think it's small or big. You know, one example could be, God, give me an opportunity to be generous today. That's one prayer, simple, small prayer that you can pray. And then as long as you go outside and you're not stuck inside all day under your duvet, you're going to be conscious then of looking for, where can I be generous? And then before you know it, two or three opportunities have come up and you think, oh, God answered my prayer. I prayed for an opportunity. One presented it to me and I was able to be generous. So then once you've done that, the next step is then, okay, now pray for something a little bit more. God, give me wisdom and courage to develop a conversation with that person that I'm being generous to. So now you're not asking just for an opportunity to be generous. You're asking for wisdom and knowledge to be able to take that further. Yes, you can be generous, but then is that opening the door to something bigger? So it's thinking along those lines of, okay, what can I pray to start with, and then build it up from there. And that will help build your faith because you're seeing all these little prayers and little steps answered. Again, pray with others because that can help lift your faith. If you have little faith, but then pray in a big group and then you start seeing results from your group, your prayer group, then that's going to help start to build your faith as an individual. Come to Building in the Spirit and pray with everyone else. We're here on a Sunday night when we pray. Everyone's praying. So you're in that room together. Do you remember when we prayed in here for the nations all those years ago? If you were in that room, you were part of that prayer and that prayer has been answered. So coming and praying as a group will just help you build that faith because you'll be able to see, actually, oh, we prayed for that and this then happened. Another one, read about other people's answered prayers and testimonies and know that God doesn't have favourites. So read inspiring stories about what people have prayed for and how God has answered them. You have that same hotline to God. Find books about prayers. Look online. Speak to people. There's people in this church who can give you testimonies about when prayer has been answered. Z and Tembi, Paul and M, Shirley. There's loads of people who can say, this is what we prayed. This is what happened. Just hearing that alone will help build your faith. And there aren't different access levels to God. Pastor Tony doesn't have a level one access just because he's the pastor, and I only have level three, so I can't pray for cancer or I can't pray for this. We all have the same access to God. Amen. We can all ask him for what we need and what we desire. So when you're looking at these barriers in faith, speak to people, hear what other people have to say, and then once you've done that, keep a track of your own answered prayers. Write them down. Because then when you are feeling a bit down and you're thinking, God never answers my prayers, and then actually, oh, okay, I've got this whole book, and then you can read through it, then you're inspiring yourself because you wrote that, and now you're reading it back because you're inspiring yourself now. You're not just looking at other people. It's like, well, God only helps other people. Actually, no, he's helping me. Then the third element, the wrong pattern. So we've had weak flesh, weak faith, and then the final one we're going to look at is wrong pattern. Matthew 6, verses 5-8. It says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father sees what he's done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So I'm just going to stop there for a second. When he's talking about go into a private room and pray, that doesn't mean you don't ever need to pray in public. What he's talking about is, and the Message translation says, do not turn your prayers into a theatrical production. God isn't looking for a show. That's what it's talking about. We're not praying in front of people just to look good. Yeah, pray corporately and pray in front of people. Don't be afraid to speak out when there's other people around, but also go in and do it in private. One of the barriers, the key barriers that people said was, we don't know what to pray. One common barrier that we see. Now, there's a whole book of scriptures right in front of you that you can go and pray through. But continuing in verse 9, Jesus literally tells us how to pray. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be that your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know the rest. I'm not going to read it all because just for time. But there's so much in that prayer that covers lots of different things. And it's a prayer that we can use as a springboard to go into lots of different types of prayers. So just breaking it down, our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Just that first line, that first two words, our Father. That's just an acknowledgement that he is God. Hallowed be your name. That's a prayer about giving him praise, giving him glory. Your kingdom come and your will be done. That's warfare prayer. God, your will is that we're going to take this ground. That's a prayer for warfare. Give us this day our daily bread. That's a prayer about God, feed me. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Forgive us of our trespasses and as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's about repentance, but then asking for strength to forgive others. Lead us not into temptation. That's asking for direction and protection. And for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. That's just a recognition of who he is and an adoration. So just that one prayer alone has so many different elements. And it's literally, Jesus says, this is how you should pray. He literally tells us how to do it. So all those barriers of the pattern that we have, it's right there, right in front of us. And those who were at Building in the Spirit last week, Pastor Tony showed us other scriptures which we can start to pray into. Those are apostolic prayers. So there's lots, all the scriptures have different things that we can be praying about. And if you want to hear more, he's going to be doing more at Future Building in the Spirits. So keep coming to Building in the Spirit. So when you're looking at all these barriers in your life, you need to ask, we need to ask ourselves, am I problem focused or am I solution focused? Are your prayers always, God, there's this problem in the world, isn't it awful? I'm so upset about it. Or is it, God, I see this problem, so I'm asking you to open hearts and minds. I'm asking you to give people wisdom in that situation. Give people a way to get through what they're going to get through. And that mindset will open up a whole new dialogue with God. Because the solution-focused prayer is an intentional prayer that when we go back to what Jesus told us how to pray, none of that was problem-focused. It's all intentional. It's all solution-focused.
Just as I'm going to go through this one very quickly, I'm not even going to read any of the scriptures. The references will be on the screen, so you know that it is scriptural and you can look it up for yourself. Do your own research, go through the Gospels, you'll find loads. But Dave was talking about role models. So I just want to take a quick look. Yes, Jesus told us how to pray, but Jesus also showed us. We're going to have a quick look at Jesus as the model for a prayer life, because he is the ultimate model, isn't he? And if Jesus felt the need to pray, being God himself, then we definitely do, if we want to have that relationship. So Jesus prayed alone and with others. So corporate prayer and personal prayer are both equally important. Neither one of them should be neglected. Jesus prayed before eating, travelling and making important decisions. So again, we've said this before, we need to involve God in every single aspect of our lives. Nothing can be off limits to him. At times, this is the one that was really challenging, Jesus prayed all night. There's one where before he chose his disciples, he said he went off to the mountain to pray and he spent the whole night in prayer. When the day came, he then took action. It wasn't when the day came, he then went to sleep. So some things require perseverance. If you don't get an answer to prayer straight away, keep praying. This is where your maturity is developed, when you don't give up. Jesus prayed before, during, and after healing people. So don't think you can do God's work if you don't involve God in your life. You can't go out and do all these miraculous things for him if there's no relationship with him, if there's no prayer life. Jesus prayed for himself, for his disciples, and for all believers. This is just the whole of John 17, which Pastor Tony read some of it to us before, but it actually breaks it down where he prayed for himself, then he prayed for his disciples, then he prayed for all believers. So who else are you praying for? Is it just yourself? Is it just you and your family? Or is it all people? Like, you're not going to pray for all people all of the time, but your prayer life should be featuring praying for others as well. Jesus prayed for his Father's will. Dave spoke about that a minute ago with the Lord's Prayer as well. But are your prayers inspired by the Spirit and in line with the Father's will? Do you even know what the Father's will is? Because if not, the only way you're going to find out is through prayer. Yeah. So if you're not sure you know what the Father's will is, start with praying, God, show me your will. Jesus prayed for forgiveness for those who were against him. Another challenging one. Sometimes it's like, yeah, I pray for my family, I pray for my church, I pray for Pastor Tony and for the leadership, I pray for my government. But do you pray for the people who are actively against you? Because Jesus did. So if you're looking for that mature prayer life model, it's about praying for others, praying for their forgiveness. Not just for healing, but for their forgiveness as well. Jesus prayed in his pain and suffering, as well as when everything was good, both extremes. So he prayed when he was on the cross, he prayed when he was dying, but he also prayed in his normal everyday walk, in every single aspect he prayed. Sometimes these prayers, you know, were as simple as, like, there's a scripture, loads of scriptures where it says he broke bread and gave thanks. Doesn't say he got down on his knees and prayed, but that he gave thanks is Jesus praying. So sometimes when you're going through the Bible, it's not always easy to find the well, there's loads of references to prayer, but there's also a lot where it doesn't actually mention prayer. But when Jesus says, Father, forgive them, that's prayer. He's talking to his Father. And Jesus still prays for us now. So this again is about being in line with what Jesus is praying. He's in the throne room interceding for us. So are our prayers in line with what he is praying? Because that's a sign of a mature prayer life. And we must continue to intercede and pray for others. Sorry, that was a very quick whistle stop talk.
So we want to leave a bit of time just to pray at the end. But I just want to quickly say, we need to be intentional in our prayer. And not do it when we feel like it, and when we can be, oh, I'm really happy, I'm just going to pray today, and I'm going to pray about this. We need to be intentional with our prayer. You can be intentional by saying, okay, every week I'm going to pray for the youth of Tameside. Every week I'm going to pray for the government. Every week I'm going to pray for my family. On this day, this is what I'm going to... That's being intentional with your prayers. Not, oh, I don't feel like praying today. Or, oh, it's sunny outside, I think I'll go for a quick walk and I'll pray while I'm walking. That's not what intentionality is about. Intentionality in your prayer life is being intentional, having specific things that you need to pray. So we'll just go back to this quote. Should we just all stand to our feet, if you don't mind? So to desire revival, but at the same time neglect our personal prayer and devotion, is to wish one way and walk another. So if revival is through those doors, I need prayer to get me to those doors. Whereas if I don't, pray, I'm going to walk this way. And revival's right over there. So that's how integral prayer is. And as Lisa said at the beginning, there is a call to the church to rise up and push in prayer. And there is a challenge to each and every one of us to take this on a personal level. It's our job to overcome those barriers, to overcome the weak flesh, to overcome that weak faith, to get the right pattern in our life. It's our own responsibility. But like I said, there are people around who can help as well. But it is there's an action, there's an intentionality that we need to make to be able to step forward. So just as we begin to pray now, start to pray against those barriers. Start to pray of how you can begin to overcome. So just start to ask him now, Father God, as we come before you this morning, Father, we pray that those barriers, you will begin to open our eyes to what they are. Father, don't let there be any blind spots in our barriers to be able to speak to you. Father, begin to remove them. Begin to give us tactics and things to do to put in place so that we can begin to remove those barriers. Father God, right now, oh God, Father, we pray against those barriers. We pray against the things of the flesh that stop us coming to your throne. Yes, oh God. Yes, oh God. And if there's anyone in here today who hasn't prayed before, who doesn't know Christ Jesus, this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity now to pray that first prayer, to take that first step on that journey. And that's all it takes. It's a right heart and that first prayer, and then God will start to move. Then God will start to come into your life. So you just need to pray, open up your heart, and pray, Father, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me, oh God. Father, come into my life. Come in and be my Saviour. Be my Lord and Saviour. Father, I choose today to follow you. If you're already, you think you're mature in your spiritual walk, pray again to be even more mature. Pray again to go deeper. Pray again to go deeper into what God is trying to do.
I'm just seeing like this picture of a tree. This is the symbol of our prayer life. This, when we're talking about the maturity of the tree, your prayer life brings hope. It brings hope to you. It brings hope to others. But is your prayer life right now, is it like the tree in winter where there's no leaves, there's no blossom, there's no sign of life? There is life because the tree is still standing, but there's no sign of life. So in your prayer life right now, is it a bare tree like in winter times where there is no sign of life, there's no sign of fruit? Is it perhaps in the early stages where you're beginning to see some blossom, some signs that something is changing, that something is beginning to happen? Are the trees starting, the leaves starting to come out onto the tree? Have you got a few leaves here and there? Or have we got a full tree? Have we got an oak tree that's providing shade, that's providing life, that's providing stability? Is it a deciduous tree? Is it like you get the leaves in the spring and you're going through cycles where sometimes it's full of life and then it dies back and it shrivels back to nothing again before it comes back into life? Or have you got that evergreen tree that is providing fruit, providing life and leaves all of the time? When we look at that tree in Revelation, the tree of life, where it bears fruit every month and the leaves were for the healing of the nations.
Yes, Lord.
So right now, I just want to declare, God, that our tree is going to blossom. It's going to grow. Our prayer life, God, is going to grow. It's going to blossom. It's going to provide life. It's going to provide fruit. In season and out, there is never going to be an out of season. There is going to be month after month after month after month continually producing fruit. And to have those leaves as well, oh God, those leaves that will provide healing for the nations, that we'll be praying for others, oh God. I declare and I ask, Lord, that you will develop us, you will take us to the next level in the maturity, oh God. And you have got to pray this over your own life. Be asking God to take you to the next level. There's no good me just praying it for you. This has got to be your prayer.
Yes,
are you going to enter into this? God, take me to the next level. Take me, oh God. Make my tree produce. Let it produce. Let my prayer life be one of maturity, one that is developed, God, one that is pleasing to you, that I walk with you day in, day out.
Yes, oh God. Yes, oh God. Kira barakasa, tarakira barakasa. Yes, oh God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, oh God. Father, we thank you that you have given us full access to you.
Yes.
That we can approach you knowing that you are there.
Yes.
Father God, I pray that we remove all the barriers from ourselves.
Yes.
So we have full access straight to you, straight to the throne room. Father, as we go through this week now, Father, I pray that we will begin to put things in place to help us overcome those barriers. Start to get and mature in our prayer life as we carry on our spiritual walk. Even if we are already a mature tree, that a mature tree continually produces fruit. It doesn't just stop because it gets to a certain point. It always produces fruit. So whatever stage that we're at, there is always more fruit to come. So Father God, I pray right now as we go forward this week, Father, that you will be with us. You will begin to speak to us more and more. And as we begin to pray, we will begin to develop and we will begin to hear your voice.
Amen. Thank you.
In Jesus' name, amen.